Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for April 21st, 2015. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm talking to Moshe Song and Gerald Dorn about how two related protein kinase C isoforms control growth of the heart in both developmental and pathological contexts. There are several isoforms of protein kinase C, PKC, and these enzymes participate in many different signaling pathways that control diverse cellular processes. Depending on how they're activated, PKCs are divided into three groups: conventional, novel, and atypical. PKC delta and PKC epsilon are closely related novel type PKC isoforms. Both PKC delta and PKC epsilon function in the heart, and they have some overlapping functions, so one isoform can partially compensate for the other when one is mutated or knocked out. In order to uncover all of the heart functions of PKC delta and PKC epsilon, Moshe Song, Gerald Dorn, and their colleagues knocked out both PKC delta and PKC epsilon in cardiomyocytes. They found that these related PKC isoforms normally limit heart growth during development and in adult mice. Song and Dorn spoke to me from the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. Gerald Dorn and Moshe Song, welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Hi, thank you.
Hello, thank you.
How similar are PKC delta and PKC epsilon biochemically and functionally?
Quite similar. So they are, if you will, twin sons of different mothers. These are two of the most closely related PKC isoforms there are. They're members of the same subfamily. They're activated under the same context. They move to different places within the cell, and therefore they have different substrate specificities, largely due to the fact that when they're activated, they translocate to different subcellular fractions.
But if you were to put them both in the same place, they could probably recognize many of the same substrates.
So our studies show that their levels on gene expression overlap about 90%. And I think it's reasonable to extrapolate that there are substrate specificities given the appropriate context, that is, if location was not a factor, would also be very similar, if not completely overlapping. They are very, very closely related.
Both PKC delta and PKC epsilon have been implicated in heart biology. Does knocking out either one alone have much effect on the heart?
At the basal condition, knocking out either isoform has minimal consequences on cardiac structure and function. However, for example, in the case of ischemia reperfusion, PKC delta and epsilon has opposing influences on the cardiac response. Cardiac expression of a PKC delta activating peptide increases ischemia reperfusion-associated damage, whereas PKC epsilon has a protective role against those damage. Yet, when either of the isoform is ablated from the mouse heart, the damage from ischemia reperfusion is increased.
Can you explain what ischemia reperfusion injury is and how might that actually occur in a human patient?
Sure. So ischemia reperfusion in the laboratory is when you surgically interrupt the blood flow to the heart. Generally, we do that with a suture that's ligated around the coronary artery for some period of time, typically 30 minutes to an hour, and then you release the suture and reestablish blood flow to the heart. And this very closely mimics what a human subject who's having a heart attack, a myocardial infarction, would have when they are at home, for example, and they have a clot that forms in the artery, and that shuts off the blood flow to the muscle of the heart. And then they make it to the hospital, and their friendly cardiologist opens up that clot with a balloon or a stent or some combination of medications. So ischemia reperfusion injury is a relevant experimental model and is of great interest to the cardiac investigative community. What it evokes at the molecular level is a tremendous amount of oxidant stress, because when you shut off the blood flow to the heart, that muscle becomes ischemic, hypoxic, and then becomes very sick and makes a lot of lactic acid. And then when you reestablish blood flow, you get a reperfusion of oxygen, and that causes the mitochondria to release reactive oxygen species, and that paradoxically can be further damaging to the heart, even more damaging than if you did not reperfuse. So we study this a lot in the laboratory. And in my earlier experience in this field, I collaborated with my friend at Stanford, Daria Moshley-Rosen, and we did studies in mice that manipulated PKC delta and epsilon in mouse hearts. And she actually went ahead and took some of those studies and took them into human beings using specific translocation modifiers of PKC epsilon.
You knocked out both PKC delta and PKC epsilon specifically in cardiomyocytes, which are the muscle cells of the heart. What effect did that have on the heart during development?
As we show in the paper, the two isoforms together exhibit a growth-limiting effect. And when we knock out both of them in the embryonic cardiomyocytes, they disinhibited cardiomyocyte growth, evoking massive proliferation of fetal cardiomyocytes that induced pathological ventricular stiffening and early mortality.
What about in adults? If you remove the function of both PKC delta and PKC epsilon after development's complete, what effect does that have on the heart?
And that's an outstanding question, because we were surprised. The lethal effects of deleting both of these enzymes in the embryo were completely spared if you waited until immediately after birth to get rid of them. So when you wait until the first or second day of life to delete these two protein kinases, the animal and its heart appear completely normal. The structure is normal, the heart is not enlarged, the function is normal, and the only abnormality we were able to identify was a mild abnormality in gene expression that seemed to be related to growth hormone signaling, but the hearts were normal unless they were provoked, for example, by pressure overload stimulus.
So how did those hearts respond abnormally when provoked, when put under stress?
So when we surgically increased the blood pressure within the heart, called pressure overload hypertrophy, that mimics, for example, human hypertension, what we found was a recapitulation of the embryonic phenotype. That is, that the hearts grew much more than we would have expected them to. So in the embryo, this was because of cells that proliferated. The cardiac myocytes increased in number. In the adult, cardiomyocytes can't proliferate. They are quiescent. So they increased in size. But it's striking that the embryonic and adult phenotypes, under conditions that stimulate cardiac growth, both resulted in a vastly increased growth response, although the cellular mechanisms were different.
PKC inhibitors are candidates for treating some cancers. Could using PKC inhibitors have unwanted cardiac side effects, given the results of your study?
Absolutely. This is one of the cautionary notes of our study. It is well known that activating PKC stimulates cell growth. And for that reason, when PKCs are activated beyond their physiological limits, one of the results can be cancer or cancerous type of growth. That's why chemical activators of PKCs, 4-ball esters, are classified as tumor-promoting 4-ball esters, because these chemicals cause cancer. What our findings suggest is that for functions that have not yet been identified, particularly these overlapping functions that are difficult to discern by individual knockout approaches or individual isoform-specific inhibition, that broadly inhibiting these in all tissues systemically is likely to give you unanticipated effects. What those effects might be, I think, is completely unpredictable.
Isoform-specific PKC inhibitors are also candidates for treating cardiac disease. Does your finding that PKC delta and PKC epsilon are largely redundant in the heart complicate the outlook for the usefulness of these drugs? Would isoform-specific inhibitors be able to sufficiently inhibit function to have a beneficial effect?
It is indeed a great question, and there is much additional clarity that needs to be brought to this. So the notion that we are inhibiting a specific isoform is driven by the idea that we want to specifically prevent that enzyme from acting on some set of substrates. So in this case, these are kinases, and what we want to do is prevent kinase-mediated phosphorylation of some substrates. So our approach has been, you know, if there are many different PKCs, maybe we can develop isoform-specific inhibitors. The problem with that approach, as I see it, is that different PKC isoforms do different things in different cell types. For example, we have shown that there are completely unexpected growth-inhibiting effects of both PKC-delta and PKC-epsilon in the heart. And I would say that these were unexpected because when you overexpress either of these two enzymes in the heart or activate them, you get hypertrophy. The hearts get bigger. Now, we've shown that if you delete them both from the heart gets bigger. So this is an instance in which gain of function and loss of function do not give you opposing results. May I suggest that what we should be looking for in the context of therapeutics are not chemicals that will inhibit an isoform, but small molecules that will specifically inhibit a PKC interaction with a given substrate. So substrate-specific inhibitors. And again, my colleague at Stanford, Daria Moshley-Rosen, is working in this area, and I think that's the future for clinically useful PKC-derived therapeutics.
Gerald and Moshe, thanks for speaking with me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Moshe Song and Gerald Dorn discussing a paper published in the April 21st issue of Science Signaling by Song and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.